I thought, what would be better than to use my 34 years in the veterinary industry than to help you guys, the pet owner? What are your questions? What do you need to know? What would you like to know? I want to create a completely interactive podcast where you, the listener, can ask your questions and we will answer them. I will have industry-leading professionals come in and have conversations about your very questions. What keeps you up at night? What worries you about your pet? What worries you about the cost of taking care of your animal? There's so many things that we can talk about, but I need you to tell me what we need to come up with. Because if you do that, we can have a great, great, great session.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Irreplaceable Tales. We are so lucky today to have Marty with us from Rough House Pet Resort. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to chat with you about daycare, or pet resorts, if you will.
Both,
right? So everybody who listens knows I'm a huge fan of training and daycare and really just enriching your dog's day-to-day activities as much as you can. And I think daycare is a great place to do it, a well-supervised, well-staffed daycare. So you have owned and been running your daycare for 17 years now.
Yes. Tomorrow's our anniversary. Happy, 17 years tomorrow.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
When you started, did you think you were going to be in it for the long haul?
I did. Yeah. I knew this was my next move. I was retiring from corporate and was ready to do this dog thing.
Yeah. How, and you've enjoyed it?
I have. I'll tell you, there's been a few ups and downs. Everybody knows that, just being a small business owner. Yeah. But in general, it's good. It's fun. The customers are nice. It's a service industry. So yeah. There's a lot that goes into it. But yes, I love it.
What made you want to get into opening a pet resort?
Well, funny story, but I traveled 40 weeks a year with my job in corporate America.
Gosh.
And my two dogs had to go to a dog daycare. It was right here by the airport. So they went every single week, Tuesday. Well, I was actually boarding. I dropped them off every Tuesday morning, picked them up every Thursday night. And when I finally decided, I am so done with corporate America, what am I going to do? I researched all these businesses and what could I buy, what could I start? And I met with my little pet resort that I went to, very small in-home place. And they said, if you're really interested, we'll sit down with you. So I learned all about it from them and decided, okay, I'm going to do this. So I found one that was for sale and I bought it.
Wow. And did you, it was part of being done with corporate America, were you looking just to spend more time at home or were you looking to spend more time with your pets as well?
It was a little bit of everything. I've always been an entrepreneur. I mean, even when I was a kid, I always had some little side business. And I'm also someone who kind of bucks corporate America on the system on you got to be really politically correct with everything. And
sure.
I love flexibility. I like traveling. I got a good mind for marketing. So being in that little box in corporate,
yeah,
I did it for years and I made good money, but I just was ready to just do my own thing. And I knew there was going to be risks with it. And I was ready to do it anyway.
Were you really happy with the daycare that you were at and you thought, gosh, I want to do this for other dogs? Or were you thinking, there's a few little things I could tweak here and there. I would love to kind of bring this to the next level.
Definitely next level. The place I went to was very small.
Like a boutique-y little.
Well, it was just really run out of their house with a husband and wife. And I liked them because they were right by the airport. They were very friendly. They knew my dogs well. It turned out I was one of their number one customers, and I didn't know. I thought there was a whole bunch, and turned out there wasn't very many. But they got me started, and they got me the bug. And as soon as I met with them, I joined the International Boarding Association and started going to the seminars and really learning the real business. But they were the ones that got me really thinking about it. And they said, you know, someday we're going to sell. So if you really are thinking about leaving your job in corporate and you want to do something like this, maybe you can buy ours. And I didn't want to buy theirs.
Yeah. You're like, it was a little bigger.
Well, I said, oh, my gosh. I mean, that would be too much. A little bit more like a hobby business. I wanted it as more of a real kind of, I could make enough money to live. So,
how many square feet is your facility?
It's big. It's 43,000 square feet.
Wow.
But when I say that, because we're in Riverside, which has a lot more space than here in Orange County.
Yeah.
But when I say that, that the whole property is 43,000, and we break it up into outdoor play yards. We have a huge swimming pool.
Oh, fun.
There's all indoor sleeping areas, right, and indoor play yards, and then the admin stuff, like lobby and kitchen, yeah, and grooming. But it's really big, and there's hardly any that are that big.
Do you have a lot of dogs enjoying the pool? Especially Riverside gets hot during the summer, too.
Yes.
Are they?
Yes.
That's amazing. There's not many places. I can only think of one or two off the top of my head that have pools.
It's a real built-in swimming pool. It's 8 feet,
wow,
deep in the middle.
Oh my gosh.
And so it's not just fun for them to get their feet wet, but a lot, yeah, of them, a lot of the labs and the goldens, they actually will jump in.
Yeah.
The pool's been huge. In fact, I was just talking to a company the other day that was helping us with marketing, and they said, your number one search in your area is dog pool.
Yeah.
And I go, really?
Yeah.
So many people come to us. They could pick another daycare, another boarding, but they know, you know what? We really want our dog to swim, so we'll go to that place.
Yeah.
And then they just add it on to their stay.
Do you do – so not all dogs have access to the pool?
No, because,
okay,
there's a lot of reasons, right? What if, yeah, you have some perfect little poodle that just got groomed,
right,
and the last thing you want is that dog in the pool?
Right.
Or they don't swim.
Or a little Frenchie that's just going to sink like a bowling ball.
Yes, exactly. So the way our pool works is, first of all, you have to be a customer. You can't just – you know,
walk in,
try to, you know, rent the pool.
Yeah.
So if you're a customer, you add it on to your daycare boarding.
Okay.
And every day we have a list of who signed up, yeah, and it's 2 o'clock swim, and it's usually 2 to 2:45.
Oh, I love
that. It's hot then.
Yeah.
And we have, what's a little bit unique though, is there's the big swimming pool, and it's all in one fenced in area.
Yeah.
And then the small little kiddie pool that's, it's fairly small, but it's better if they're not used to it.
Yeah.
And then we have these deck jets where the water comes flying up out of the corners.
Oh, my gosh. How
so
fun.
So even if a dog isn't totally into swimming, but they want to get wet and they,
yeah,
want to play in the jets, they do that. And if they're new, they can either do a swim lesson with us that's private,
oh,
and
gosh,
we do life vests. A lot of the dogs have a life vest.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
It's huge.
We'll
it's
have to come by and take video for you for the business, and I want to see all the pools.
Please.
I love that. That's amazing.
Yes. It's really a big hit, and it,
yeah,
is hot out there. It's way hot. If it's 80 degrees in Orange County, it's 95 there.
Yeah.
It's hot, and it's not – the dogs need, also it's just another good outlet for them to do something different.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, I'm sure a lot of these dogs in daycare are, not always, but you know, you get the labs, the larger breed dogs who just kind of need to,
yep,
burn that energy. And a lot of them love the water anyway.
Yep.
It's a great way to introduce them to it. It's not always great to go to the beach when the waves are like crashing in their face. The,
yeah,
beach can be a little overwhelming,
a little
overstimulating. So,
mm-hmm,
even if you just want pool safety, you know, it's a great thing to add on just to make sure that if they're around a pool, they're not...
Yes. So two things. We'd be doing swim lessons. And last week I was watching the videos from the swim lessons. It was a lot of small dogs that signed up. And the person in the pool that was doing the lessons, she's one of our senior people that works there. She, one thing she made sure, not just to teach them how to swim, but they all had to know where the entry and exit was.
Right.
And she was with them. And I could see they were swimming over there like, okay, this is how I get out. This is how I get in. And a lot of the customers, if they're not sure if their dog will like it, we say, just do the swim lesson first, and,
yeah,
we'll let you know. And then they start adding on.
Yeah. I
but
love that.
It's great. It's really sets us apart. And we've never had a problem with, like, any kind of safety issues or any of it. It's been a huge,
yeah,
hit.
Well, I think the way you do it, too, is really smart, right? It's not just, like, a free-for-all. It's not just a pool sitting in the middle of,
no,
50 dogs playing, not really supervised. I think...
There's
a good way to do it, and I think you guys are doing it a very smart.
Yeah, it's usually only 10 dogs at a time anyway.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Definitely small groups.
Oh, I love
because
that.
Because it gets a little crazy, too, because,
oh, yeah,
we're throwing toys in the pool. And
do you have dogs that'll play in the pool, and you're like, no, we need to?
It's pretty deep, so you'd be surprised because it has a shallow end on each side, but you get in, and it's pretty gets pretty deep pretty fast.
Yeah.
So I would say the biggest thing is the dogs that want to jump in, that can actually jump in and then they're just swimming.
Yeah.
But to get out, they got to get to each side. So they don't do a lot of just playing.
Okay.
But I see them sometimes dive in, get their toys, jump out, dive back in, get their toys, repeat. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this dog's insane.
Yeah.
And the videos they're very fun.
I'm sure the owner – you have live cams going for owners to watch?
We don't have them in the pool. That's a whole long story. But our cameras stopped working. I don't know why. And we do a lot of videos, and we just – upload them either to
like
our social
portal
media.
Or...
Yes, exactly. We either put them on social media or we send them to the customers.
Yeah.
Because they do want to see.
Do you guys do report cards or any fun stuff for the dogs while they're there for boarding and stuff like
we
that?
We do. We have actually handwritten report cards for boarding.
Cute.
And they're not just like cute like you would think.
Yeah.
They're pretty informative. So our report cards for boarding show if their dog ate, how much, if there was any issues, if there's any health concerns, something like, hey, you know, their ear is inflamed or
right.
we see a hot spot, something like that. We note that in their health. And then there's overall behavior report. And usually we'll write if they had fun, if they made a friend.
Yeah.
If they had a favorite staff person. But we take a lot of time on those report cards because they're handwritten.
Yeah.
And we read the notes from every single day they stayed and we go through them.
Yeah.
And then we write them in one report card.
Oh,
the,
nice.
The people. A lot of people keep them and put them on their fridge.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I mean, that's really cute. I think, too, it's really important that people can kind of track and follow along with their pet's progress while they've been in, mm-hmm. whether they're doing training or daycare or boarding. But, you know, oh, well, they weren't just eating because they were nervous. Well, they ate days 1 through 5.
Yes.
They didn't eat 6, 7. Maybe they vomited on 8. Like, you can kind of watch, exactly. I think, trends a little better and see.
Yeah.
Help them figure out what their next step is going to be.
Yeah, you're totally right on that. And what's important, too, is a lot of times we'll note in the report card something like, they started off shy and then they warmed up, or
yeah.
they really enjoyed a certain activity, right? We have enrichment activities and, you know, ball time and little popsicles, things like that. So we'll make those notes in there.
Yeah.
Or they're really coming out of their shell, or their best friend is another border collie named Tommy and things like that. And sometimes
yeah.
they'll say, I saw my dog playing with that dog. Was that Tommy? Because we saw him playing with a border collie.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty important to have detailed records and to know your customers and
yeah.
know their dogs. You can't just have.
And I think it makes it more personable, too. You don't just feel like you're another number. You feel like you guys really do care about your pets and that you really do have their best interest. And if you're paying that much attention to all the details and handwriting everything, I think it mm-hmm. just kind of sets you apart from everyone else.
Yes. We have an awesome computerized system for software for everything, but the communication, a lot of it, is the handwritten notes. And what we're presenting to the customer is kind of the recap. But
yeah.
we have very good notes because it is computerized. You have to be with that many dogs and
yeah.
that many customers. So it's perfect because you got the processes and procedures behind the scenes. But then you got the personal touch of, we know who your dog is. We know how they did. We know
right.
how they've changed. We know you. We know you just got back from vacation.
Right.
Or you had a job interview today, whatever
yeah.
it is. They talk to us. They tell us stuff.
Yeah. I'm sure for a lot of people, too, it's super – I'm a big fan of daycare. I don't know what I would do without my dogs going to daycare.
Okay.
I don't want them in to each their own. I just don't want them in a crate for 8 hours a day. So I feel
yeah.
like it's good for them to go and play, and they do training and agility and all these fun things to kind of keep them engaged and to kind of, you know, stimulate them a little bit and to – honestly burn some energy so when I get home after
yeah it's all those
an 8
things.
Or 10 hour day right like
yes.
they're tired and they're not looking at me like let's go play. But do you have any, how you were saying, you know, some dogs were scared and then they weren't, do you have people do a trial? Because I don't know that people fully understand the whole process of getting into a daycare. I think they think, hey, I'm just gonna call, I'm going out of town tomorrow for 2 weeks, I'm just gonna drop my dog off.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit more to it than that.
Right.
Right? So what are your do you require trials or a meet and greet or something to get the dogs in the environment before the owners are gone for 2 weeks?
Yes. And we pride ourselves on that. And sometimes I do want to say to people, well, you just dropped your dog off somewhere that you've never been to. You didn't see it. You didn't
right.
take a tour. They didn't ask a lot of questions. I mean, maybe it'll work out okay there, but we are proud of our screening process, and our goal is not quantity of dogs. Our
right.
goal is quality, that you like us and that you got to see everything firsthand and that we build a relationship with you instead of just, hey, do you got a place for boarding tomorrow? Yeah, sure. We got room. Kennel number 605 is available.
Right.
So to answer your question, yes. Our process is our website does list our requirements. They're fairly basic. We need some vaccines, the typical core vaccines.
Yeah.
Your dog has to be fairly social. I'll explain that to you. Friendly with people. Can they walk on a leash?
Right.
You'd be shocked how we use the slip leashes. Yeah. And the dog is rolling like an alligator and screaming. And holy moly, it's crazy. So walk on a leash. Have your current vaccines. Be fairly friendly with other dogs and with people. And then they come in. So we schedule an appointment. And we do them 6 days a week for a meet and greet. The meet and greet is for the customer and the dog.
Right.
The customer gets to meet our staff. They review our paperwork. They see the process. They take a full tour. Where do the dogs sleep? Where do they eat? Is this place clean?
Right.
Where the heck do I park? So they do all that. And then whether they're doing daycare or boarding, we have everybody do a 3-day trial.
Oh,
the 3-day trial is for daycare, though. So even if they're boarding, we ask them, please come 3 times, even if it's just for a few hours. And they get a great discount on that.
Yeah.
3 days, it's within a 2-week time period. And if their dog was a little bit shy, it shows on the evaluation that we will see if things get better in their trial. If their dog was a little bit snappy or uncomfortable, same thing. So we have that 3-day trial, and it's awesome because so many dogs that we're not sure about or the customer's not sure, they end up making it through.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just giving a little bit of a chance to get used to the environment. Like you said, if they're not super social or, I mean, imagine how overwhelming. You've never been to a daycare or boarding facility before. You walk in and all these dogs are, like, running around trying to play with you, and you're like...
That's exactly what happens. We also are careful in that meet and greet. So we don't just throw the dog into the group of all the main dogs. We, during the meet and greet, we move a section of dogs out. We make it a small group. We try them in a little transition area with a few dogs at a time before we put them in there. We see if they're okay in a suite or a kennel, if they're freaking out. Can our staff touch them? Can we pet them?
Right.
Can we?
Can you get them in and out of the kennel?
Exactly. Yeah, that's actually not too tough. But it's very, very good to do the meet and greet. And like I said, it's rare that it's an absolute no. And if it is, it's usually a dog that is so incredibly uncomfortable that it's insane. Like, it's like we can't even touch it.
Right.
Or every once in a while we have to turn someone away because they're really unhealthy, or they're old and they can barely walk, or they're just... It's not a good fit for a fun social environment. They're better for, say, medical boarding or somewhere really calm, in-home pet sit or something like that.
Yeah. Do you – what happens if they don't pass the trial? Do they get to try again?
Yes. Okay, so on
within
that,
reason?
Yes, within the evaluation. We really do try. Our goal is to try to make it work and make the dog comfortable. So there are meet and greet – there's a form that we fill out and we give to the customer at the meet and greet so they have a record of everything we did. And they can watch on the web camera as well, so they can see. But ours is either a pass, needs improvement, or it's not a fail, but it did not pass.
Right.
And there's hardly any did not pass. But that's partly because we're screening them on the phone first before they get there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that they don't come in because we know on the phone it's not a good fit. So to answer your question, the ones that are an absolute no, it's very rare that they're going to come back. But I swear it's 5 out of 100.
Wow.
Maybe 10 at the very most out of 100. The others are needs improvement.
Yeah.
And we let them know things that they can do at home, what we're going to do, and what they can do. And sometimes it requires more than just come to us more often.
Right.
Sometimes it's you got to work a little bit at home. You know, you got to... try your dog in a crate once in a while.
Right.
Or let them get used to the car. They're afraid of the car and they come in and they're just a mess.
They're already so worked up from the car. They didn't even have a chance because it started in the car. It didn't even have to do with daycare.
Yes. But most of them are fine. And then what else is nice is we have 3 options. So even if their dog is needs improvement, we have private play and we have small group socials. So they don't have to fit into that main group of all these dogs, 20 different dogs of their own size that they have to deal with, they can just go into small group socials or private play. My dogs are private play.
Yeah.
It's better for them. They're perfect. They love the private play.
And how many dogs are in private play? Just them?
Yeah. It's just one at a time. We rotate them and we have several private play yards, different sizes.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And they go in. They can potty. They can run around. We have play toys in there.
Oh, fun.
And our staff will go in there with them too. But a lot of it is just get your wiggles out. Be in a different environment, and then they're not stuck cooped up all day.
Yeah.
So private play is a good option. It's not ideal as far as we certainly don't want to have a pet resort where everybody's private play because it's not really our model. Our model's social environment.
Yeah.
But it works. And sometimes a dog is older and doesn't want to play, or they're been there so long that, you know, they've been there 8, 9, 10 days and they don't want to play all day.
They just need a break.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like you would never bring your kid to the park for 8 hours. 5 days in a row, right? I mean, it's kind of the same concept, right? I think it everybody thinks with my dogs, I try to do it. If I have to do every other day, I really try not to do back-to-back days because that's what I always think to myself. Gosh, I would never take my kid to Disneyland 5 days in a row.
Yeah, and expect that question from you.
And expect them to act well-behaved, right? Dogs are the same way. My dog, one of them's a little bit of a resource guarder.
Okay.
So it's like she hits, you know, day three of being at daycare and, like, nobody's getting near any of her toys. She's the total problem maker of the group. They're putting her away for nap time. And it's like...
You get it, though, because you've done daycare. You also sound like a very realistic dog owner.
Yeah.
And that you understand that your dog's not perfect, and hopefully your place you go to is working with you.
Yeah.
And your dog. But I love that you're bringing this up because... I think sometimes people have this misconception that I'm going to take my dog to daycare and it's going to have fun. It's going to play all day long and it's going to be so much fun. And they're just going to have a tired dog and they're not doing anything at home.
Right.
Or they get mad at us or frustrated that why is my dog not on camera? Why is my dog not playing? And we have a routine. It's structured. It's not meant for just a free for all day loosey-goosey. There's got to be, dogs are, they like the structure, right? So some of the best kids out there, their parents do nap time, you're going to eat at a certain time, you're going to play. They put them on structure, and it works the same with the dogs.
So yeah.
You get it, though, but not everybody gets it.
I think it's just something I wanted to, because I don't think everybody understands it. They think, well, gosh, they're just there to play, they're having fun, and they don't realize there's a little bit more to it than that, right?
There's more to it. Also, I wish everybody would understand that, to your point about going to daycare, going to the park all day with your kids, would you ever go to a dog park at 8 a.m. on a Saturday and stay there all day with your dog till 5 o'clock, right?
Yeah, no.
Your dog would hate it.
Yeah.
Right? Your dog would not like that. So what we try to explain is the kind of the new thing in dog daycare these days, we're calling it daycare 2.0, is an industry term. And what that is a lot of play, rest, have enrichment, change your groups around a little bit. But it's a whole day of based on play without chaos.
Right.
So structured play, a little bit of enrichment, which could mean like a lick mat or an activity, some sort of fun activity. Break time. We're closed every day for 2 hours. The dogs come inside in the air conditioning and they take a break.
Yeah.
They relax. It's a forced break on them. And sometimes they don't want to go, but as soon as they get in there,
they're zonked out.
We can hear them snoring, which is pretty funny. So that's what I'd love for people to understand, that it is very good to have the structured daycare, naps, breaks, and that don't expect them to play 8 hours just because you brought them there for 8 hours.
Right. So, do you guys offer a half day?
We do. Yeah. Ours is a little different than some others. Ours, you have the morning half because we close at noon.
Okay.
So you either do your morning half, or when we open back up at 2 from nap, you do your afternoon half. So you're either morning or afternoon.
Oh, nice.
It's not real popular, though. Most of our customers, it's a very small percentage that are doing half day, but it's perfect for puppies, older dogs, and depending on the schedule of the dog owners, so many of them, if they work all day, they can't do our half day.
Yeah. And it's crazy. I mean, if you have to go run errands or you have to go pick someone up at the airport or you just have to do something quick and you don't want to commit to the full day, but you don't want to leave them home.
Yeah.
I really love half days, too, because sometimes it's enough just to kind of take the edge off, get them tuckered out a little bit, and then go home and they can enjoy the rest of the day at home and you still kind of go on with your regular routine.
Mm-hmm.
But they've had that engagement for the beginning portion of the day, too, or the later portion of the day, whatever.
It's important. And we most daycares offer a half day, and they should. And I think it's a good idea.
Who's actually with your with the dogs during the day? Are they trained in animal care, or is it just people who are like, dogs are fluffy, I like dogs?
It's both.
Oh, so good.
We are, my background is human resources and recruiting, so it's a little easier for me to hire, and I kind of get to the point on, you know, who's good, who's not. I also do a lot of recruiting where I don't just wait for resumes. So there's two sides to the business. In we call it the back, which is the people actually taking care of the animals. All of our team leads and managers have a lot more experience with the medical side of things, understanding bloat and when vomiting is a serious issue or what overheating looks like and
right.
when to be concerned. So the supervisors and the managers, they're more into the overall health and wellness of the dogs. Our playgroup staff is called pack leaders. The pack leaders are, yes, they're people that love dogs. They want to have fun. A lot of them are part-time, and they work 4 or 5 days a week for us. And their training, though, still is about behavior, because whether they have the experience or not, when they come to work for us, they have to understand basic behavior.
Right.
They need to know. They're trained by us, and then we also have some professional groups that we work with for training. One of them is called Pack Pro, and
okay.
it's videos and tests and understanding breeds and body language and appropriate how to manage a group, how to calm them down, how to not punish them for
right.
acting crazy, right? So that's pretty important. In my background, I'm a dog trainer, so I'm able to help with that training. But understanding dogs and not just hiring people that love animals
right.
is pretty important. So
yeah.
our training is, a lot of it's what do you do with behavior? How do you handle the behavior?
Yeah. So. I think, well, just a lot of people in general don't realize how much of a dog's personality comes from the breed and
yes.
the breed that it is, right? So I think a lot
True.
Of people are like, well, you know, I'm not home a lot, but I really want to get an Aussie.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, no. like,
right.
these are dogs that have more energy. They need to get out and be doing things. They need to be exercising. They need to be stimulated. They need to have
yes.
a job.
So you see that. So if somebody comes to us, let's say they do have an Aussie, and we understand that dog's probably going to be a little bit different because
yeah.
they have a herding instinct. They're
right.
probably going to be what we call the fun police, right?
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
an Aussie is going to go in, they're going to circle, they're going to try to nip the other dogs, not
right.
because they're aggressive, but because
they're herding,
right? It's just a natural instinct.
Yeah.
So what do we do with that dog? We probably recommend they do the ball time or some of the other enrichment activities we have.
Yeah.
We also know they're going to guard the fence. It's just what they're going to do. They're going
right.
to circle. They're going to guard. They're going to have that super high intense energy. And understanding the difference between a hound who's going to use their nose all day long.
Right.
And a sporting dog, which is going crazy over birds. Sometimes we see them, oh my gosh, look at that one. They're looking at the birds. And just understanding the difference and
yeah.
what the dog was bred for and what it's doing in our group, and then how do we manage them.
Yeah.
So sometimes we'll group them, not necessarily by groups of, you know, like an AKC working group
right.
or herding group, but the high energy group, the puppy group, these sometimes you'd be amazed at how some boys don't like the young puppy unaltered boys. So
right.
we have to switch them around. There's a lot of science that goes
into
it.
There's a lot of dynamics that can go
between
breeds and size and
yes.
play style and
knowing your
neutered.
Customer's dogs.
Yeah.
And just on that point, too, sometimes when customers have two dogs that they bring to us, we'll recommend that we rotate them and let one of them play at a time, because sometimes they'll bring two and those two will gang up on the other dogs, or they'll just play with each other and they don't play with anybody else.
Yeah.
So we'll rotate them in and say, you know, we're going to let Fluffy play for a couple hours in the morning. And then when Fluffy's taking a break, we're going to bring in Ruger, and
yeah.
Ruger's going to play. And it really helps them to get better social skills.
Yeah, I've had to, I was telling you before we started this, we just adopted a Frenchie,
mm-hmm.
and she has been, she's gotten very attached to our previous Frenchie mix that we have at home. And I just, today was my first day separating them at daycare, and I was really sad. But the new Frenchie is going to go to Tiny Town, and our older one is going to stay with the big dogs, because our new one just follows all day. All she wants to do is follow Gronks, and she's not really making new friends. She's not really.
She doesn't have the social skills yet,
yeah.
so this is
going to
do it.
So I'm like, okay, she's been there for like 2 or 3 months going with her sister, and I'm like, mm-hmm. now's your time to kind of do your own thing. And so they get trained separately, but for a while they
sure.
had to be trained together because the new one's Chicky. Chicky wouldn't do anything unless Gronky did it. So it was like she was such a copycat, so attached. But now mm-hmm. I'm like, you guys need to have your own socialization, your own training, and kind of build your own confidence.
Good.
And Gronk's, I think, likes it better when she's not when she's by herself, kind of in her daycare groove with her new friends, and, you know, doesn't have the annoying sister kind of tagging along with
yeah.
her. But that's a really interesting point, you know, the sibling dynamic as well. Yeah.
I'm agreeing with you from so many reasons, but one of them is I think that some people do overhumanize their dogs.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget one of my best friends, we were going hiking one time, and I had two dogs and I only brought one, and she was so upset with me, and she kept saying, I can't believe you left the other dog at home. And I said, it's too much for me to have both these dogs. They're huge dogs. I want to give each of them the attention.
Right.
They don't have to do everything together. They're two separate dogs.
Yeah.
And so I love when customers in daycare or boarding will say that, oh, this one's going to swim, but the other one doesn't like it. But the other one is going to do, you know, another activity that we have.
Yeah.
Bobbing for frozen watermelons.
Oh, my gosh, these silly things.
We're doing summer camp right now. So I got all this in my brain with that. But we try to tell them that they're not, they're two separate dogs, and it's good for them to do things separately. And when we train, we always train them separate and mix up their play group. So
yeah.
You get it though. It's very good for their enrichment and their life skills to have to figure it out. Otherwise they're so codependent on each other that it's tough. And what if down the road you only have one and not two?
Right.
And that one does not know how to live its life because it's so used to the other one being there for them.
Yeah. My husband and I were joking. Her report card started coming back. That her best friend of the day was always her sister. And I'm like, that's so embarrassing. We need to, like, help
good
her out
feedback.
Here. We need her to, like, get a new best friend. Like, you know, it's like, who wants their sister? I mean, it's great in real life, right? But we're
but you're sending them somewhere else so they can make other friends.
Right, and so that they're not, they get their own stuff going. But I'm like, okay, this is it. Like, I'm not getting one more report card that says you guys are best friends because
I love your daycare. They sound like they're great. Like, they get it. You get it.
Yeah,
it sounds like it's ideal.
It sounds like you guys are doing a lot of kind of the same things. But thank you so much for coming by and chatting with us.
Thank
we will definitely have to have you on again.
I appreciate it. I love this. And I
come harass you at your daycare.
Yeah, and you're good. I got to give you that. You're good at this because you do know how to ask the questions and you have a really good perspective, which is helpful. So thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad we connected.
Yes, perfect. Thanks again, Mallory.
No problem. And for everybody who's been watching, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Irreplaceable Tales, and we will see you soon.